I hope you've started to see the Mishnah Berurahs. Half of the Chino will be, I guess most of it is in the Shira, a lot of Mishnah Berurah Shefa's covers, but there's a bunch of Nakudas in the Mishnah Berurah that Shefa doesn't cover. I'm not going to mention either, it's just, you know, you kind of have to see it. It isn't that complicated, but you're going to be expected to know it, so please make sure that you get through the Mishnah Berurahs before the Bechina. Every section that we do in the fourth year, the Chazar Shir takes on a little bit of a different flavor, based on the style of the Shir, of the Rosh Hashiva who's giving the Shir. But we're going to try and maybe mention some fundamental Nakudas, or Rishafa kind of assumed that we were all familiar with, and review some of the bigger points and perhaps some of the issues in the Mishnah Berurah that we didn't touch on. So, but the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Shabbos and Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph that there are 39 Melechas of Shabbos, the last of which is Haitzah. And Haitzah, the Gemara tells us in Mishnah Masechtas Shabbos was found. The Gemara Masechtas Shabbos, I'm sorry, later on, in Tzadi Vav and Mevez, was found in the Mishkan. When they were traveling in the Midbar, they used to carry things back and forth from the different camps. Haitzah Mirishus L'Rishus was taken from the Shus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim, where they were traveling. So that was where the Malach of Haitzah was found in the Mishkan. Was only from Moitzi Mirashus Rishus. However, the Gemara says with Alocha L'Moshe Misinai that not only Moitzi Mirashus Rishus is included in the Issa of Hotza, which was found in the Mishkan, but even Marva Dalet Amos Mirashus Harabim. If a person moves something, picks something up in one place in the Rishus Harabim, and he puts it down in a different place in the Rishus Harabim, that would also be considered to be the Malacha of Hotza. The Baal Amor has a famous explanation for the Issa of Moitzi Mirashus Rishus of Marva Dalet Amos Mirashus Harabim is that that's the equivalent of a motzim rishus rishus, because Dalet Amos, every person is entitled to a kind of personal space, radius around himself. And a person's Dalet Amos is considered to be a rishus bifnei atzmo. If he takes something out of this rishus, this Dalet Amos, he moves it to a different Dalet Amos, that's ki'ilu, it's as if he moved it mirishus rishus. So it is related to the primary rishus of Hotzah that was found in the Mishkan, a motzim rishus ayachad, rishus harabim, and vice versa, but also included in that is hamaber Dalet Amos rishus harabim. That's the basic iser of Hotzah, includes both of those two parts. When it comes to building an Eruv, in order to permit us to carry in a certain area, we're going to try to create, to transform a certain area that's not necessarily naturally Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaYachid. So the entire process, before we even get into the details of it, the entire process, one has to recognize, this, particularly a person is a Rav, that there are really two perspectives and two attitudes towards building Eruvin in the first place, and a person in a community needs to be sensitive to both of these attitudes and both of these perspectives. Because on the one hand, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Seirvan and Dafsan Azayin Mebeis that in the city of Avaya there was once a bris on Shabbos. And we don't do milah anymore, but we used to discuss that before the bris they would wash the baby in hot water, and after the bris they would wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic in order to prevent infection. We don't do that anymore. Now we have better forms of antiseptics. That was a practice in the time of the Gemara. So one time they were about to do a bris milah and the water spilled. Shtapi chamimi. So Rabbi said to Abaye, who was the Rabbi of the town, said, go bring water from an adjacent home. Abaye said, we can't, we don't have an Eruv. So Mordechai infers from that initial comment of Rabbi, who was the Rebbe of Abaye, of course, he presumed that there was an Eruv in the town. So the Mordechai infers from that, as well as the Chuvas HaRosh, that it sounds like from here the Rabbi believed it was incumbent to put part of the obligations of the Rabbi of the town in order to establish an Eruv, in order so that people should not be initial in the Yisr of Haitzah. So that's one perspective, that we should go to great lengths to build an Eruv, perhaps even relying on certain Serufim Lekula, which we might not rely on other areas of Halacha, because it's incumbent upon the leadership in the town to create an Eruv, to make sure that people are not initial in the Yisr of Haitzah, which perhaps you see was already the initial Havamina of Rabba, and then the town of Abai, there would be an Eruv. However, at the same time, the Mishnah tells himself the servant of Daf Nun Tes that Yosho Rabim Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. If you have a city which has within it Rishus HaRabim, you can't make a Eruv around the entire thing, because Shema Tishtachach Toros Rishus HaRabim, meaning you can't take an area that naturally had Rishus HaRabim and transform the entire thing into a Rishus HaYachid, because people will forget about the Yisr of Haitzah. So Shulchan Aruch says, we don't do this in our towns, meaning why we don't leave a certain part of the Jewish community outside of the Eruv, so people should remember the Yisr of Haitzah, because most of our cities don't have a Rishus HaRabim, Zeraisa, if anything, we have a Karmelis, so we don't have to be Choshish for this, but if you have a city which actually have a Rishus HaRabim in it, you can't build an Eruv around it, because people are going to forget about the Yisr of Haitzah. So in fact, that's it's often misquoted, but that's one of Ramosha's reasons being opposed to the Eruv of Manhattan was this, is that people are going to come to Manhattan from all over the world. They're going to see people carrying. Even if the Eruv will be built, Kedas V'Kedin, they're going to go home to their small little towns, and they'll think that in the big city in Manhattan, they carry without an Eruv. They won't know that there's an Eruv. They'll think that it's permitted to carry, and then they'll go home, and they'll think that it's permitted to carry. Permitted to carry as well. I remember when I came to yeshiva, there was no Eruv across Amsterdam Avenue because of Aaron Salvechik wouldn't let them do it. So you used to have to hide your key in the mailbox and whatever. There was a whole geschäft. But there were people who came here. Most people didn't stay for Shabbos even then. But there were boys who came here from suburbs. They never heard of the fact that you can't carry outside on Shabbos. They never encountered it before. They knew maybe in theory there was such a thing, but they never heard of it. They never seen it. And it was a cultural shock. So that there were those who were opposed to Irvin for that reason. But that was Ramesh's reason. Rabbi Mendel Kasher in his Tshuva, Divrei Menachem in his Tshuva about the Eruv in Manhattan, attacks Rav Moshe for this reason. He says, okay, yes, it's true. We have to be, have to make sure that people don't forget about the Yisr of Hoytzel, but we also have to balance that with the obligation to build an Eruv in a town to make sure that people are not nishal in the Yisr of Hoytzel. And there are these two competing attitudes. Both, have legitimate basis, but we have to find the balance between the two. That's Rabbi Schwab in his Sefer, the Mind Base of Shaiva, on Parshas Vayakel, is where he prints his opposition to building an Eruv in the community. And his reason was, look, if Chazal prohibited us from blowing Shofar and Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, because of Gzeirah D'Rabbah, and Gzeirah D'Rabbah was, not that you might carry a Shofar out of your house into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which means I might pick it up in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and put it down in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What kind of far-fetched chashash is that? He says, not that I'm going to take again. Most people presume is I'm going to take the shofar from my house to go to a bucky to learn. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Zegzer the Rabbah was, Shema Yavi Renu Dalad Amos Rishusaram. I pick it up, a shofar from the Rishusaram, and put it down in the Rishusaram. Rishusaram said that was so far-fetched. And nonetheless, Chazal were choshish for that when it comes to the Yisr of Hoytzah, because Hoytzah is Malacha Gruahi, nothing really changes. It seems to people to be an insignificant activity, and nonetheless it's prohibited, so we have to go to great lengths to guard the Yisr of Hoytzah. So Chazal went to such great lengths to be mavatal the mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah of lulav, of sukkos chalios b'shabbos. So then, certainly we can't build an eruv which would open the floodgates, and people might come to violate hotzah illegitimately. At the same time, the Baal Shem Tov felt that his tafkin in life, where the pasuk says in Chabakuk b'zorim titzad eretz, that he felt his chiyuv in life was to be mesaken Bizoam, which I think was Zvicha, Erevin, and Mikvos. So that's why Chassidim in general are more lenient in these areas. In Erevin and Mikvos, they're very involved in Mikvos, but they're even more lenient when it comes to Yisr Paitzah, because the Baal Shem Tov felt that was part of his mission in life, to remove the anger of the Rebbeinu Shem from the world, Bizoam, Titzad, Eretz, through these areas of Halacha. Okay, so we have to, there's these competing attitudes, and sometimes we're going to rely on certain kulas, and we mitzarev kulas. At the same time, we have to make sure it doesn't become too much, and we can always have to preserve the integrity of the Yisr of Hoytzah. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos and Avavim and Aleph, that there's four Rishuyos L'Shabbos. Rishus HaYochid, a private domain where you can carry, Rishus HaRabim, public domain where you cannot carry, a Makom Ptur, which is neither, we'll have to define that, and a Karmelis. So the Yishalmi actually also says four Rishuyos L'Shabbos, a parallel Gemara, but the Yishalmi omits Makom Ptur. So Menachem Zeman, his Sefer Totzos Chaim and Masechta Shabbos, claims perhaps that the Machleik is here, which we'll see is a recurring issue. What is the nature of Makom Ptur? Is a Makom Ptur like a Rishus that just doesn't have, kind of has undefined parameters? Or perhaps it's just whatever doesn't fit into every other category is a Makom Ptur, but it's not that it's its own formal category of Rishuyos. It's just a nothing, meaning it's not that it's a fourth Rishus, it's simply nothing, it doesn't fit into any of the categories, it's kind of like a safety net for everything else, but it really doesn't have its own integrity, and we'll see that there might be a few nafkaminas with regards to that. Anything, though, that is a makom tur, meaning it doesn't fit into the qualities of Rishus HaYochid, and it does also, it doesn't have walls, and it's not Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't have all the characteristics of Rishus HaRabim, which we're going to discuss, so would Midaraisa be a makom tur? However, Chazal said any makom tur that has a sheer makom of dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim, they transformed into a karmelis, which we're going to see has properties that are similar to Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. So what is neither Rishus HaYochid nor Rishus HaRabim but has a sheer makom? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Aleph, if you have a yam or a bika, right? A valley, isn't great traffic there, but there's also no walls. Or in the water, for the most part, there's no mechitzas over the water, but there's also isn't heavily trafficked. So it's not a Rishus HaRavim, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, but there's also, there's no mechitzas, there's no traffic, so there Chazal, but it does have a Shir Malkom of Dal Tfachim, Chazal transformed that into a Karmelis, which we're going to see has some of the properties of Rishus HaRavim and some of the properties of Rishus HaYachid. What then is Lamaisa Malkom Tur? Whether it has its own integrity as a Rishus or it doesn't, what is a Malkom Tur? So a good example of a Malkom Tur Lamaisa would be, let's say, a fire hydrant, right, or a parking meter. It sticks up out of the Rishus HaRabim. It's not within three tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim that it blends in. But yet, it doesn't have a shir makom of dal tefachim by dal tefachim. It isn't heavily trafficked like a Rishus HaRabim. So a good example of a makom tur might be a parking meter or a fire hydrant. Okay, but let's go through the different Rishuyas, the different qualities that are necessary, review some of the points that B'Shechter mentioned, and perhaps some of the things that appear in the Mishnah Berurah. So in order to be Rishus HaYachid, of course, it has to have a Shir Makom of Dal Tfachim by Dal Tfachim that's mentioned at the beginning of Shin Mem Hei, that it has to have Dal Tfachim by Dal Tfachim. And then the Shir Shulchan Aruch mentions later, Shin Samach Gimel, discusses at length, it has to have Mechitzos. How many Mechitzos of 10 Tfachim tall? It has to have the Dal Tfachim by Dal Tfachim, Mechitzos of 10 Tfachim tall. How many Mechitzos does it need? So Rabbi Shechter mentioned the Bir Halacha. The beginning of Shin Samach Gimel quotes a machlekes about this. It's actually a steer in the Rambam. Does it need three mechitzas or four mechitzas? And the Bir Halacha quotes the resolution that perhaps there's a difference between what's on the other side. If there's three mechitzas, but it's adjacent, it opens to a karmelis, then that's enough. If it's three mechitzas, but it opens up to a Rishus HaRabim, that's not enough, because then it's really exposed because of what's on the other side, and would need four mechitzas midaraisa. Generally, we assume that, again, we don't encounter Rishus HaRabim deraisa too often. Generally, we assume it's enough to have three mechitzos in order to be Rishus HaYachid. Rabbi Shechter discussed, it's important for the Bechina, Rabbi Shechter discussed his mathematical chazanish, right, that if it's at a right angle or bigger, you could assume that there's more than, there's two or more missing mechitzos. If it's at less than a right angle, then perhaps there's only one missing mechitza, and it would be considered Rishus HaYachid, even if it only has two mechitzos, right, if it's like the two ends of a triangle. The Dayan Bloy writes in the Siva Shabbos, what if you have, let's say, none of our Erevin look like perfect squares. I mean, we're going to square them off, but none of them are perfect squares. It is not as easy as it sounds to determine whether it's Rishus HaYachid deraisa or not, and it really doesn't make too much of a difference. But Dayan Bloy discusses, what if I have a half circle? What if it's in some kind of different shape? The Achronim HaMistapik was considered to be Rishus HaYachid deraisa. But there are three kinds of, so it needs to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. It has to have mechitzos, probably three mechitzos in order to be Rishus HaYachid deraisa. What's considered to be a mechitza? So Shulchan Aruch mentions in Shin Mem Hei Siv Beis, either there are three types of mechitzos. One is a charitz, which is an indentation in the ground, a ditch or a cliff. The other is an omud, which is a platform that's solid. Or mechitza, a fence, literally a wall. And Shechter quoted from the Chacham Tzvi that we can mix and match, even within the same bar of an eruv, we can mix and match between the three different kinds of mechitzas. Okay, those are the basic parameters of Rishus HaYachid. There are different, though, properties of Rishus HaYachid that don't exist by the other Rishuyos. And if you're careful as you read through the Shulchan Aruch, you'll notice, if you could collect them, that there are a bunch of properties, I would call them, halachas that apply to Rishus HaYachid that don't apply to the other Rishuyos. For example, the first one is, Ramah mentions in Shin Mem Hei, Sif Yotes, that you cannot have another Rishus in the midst of a Rishus HaYachid. Whatever is inside of the Rishus HaYachid is enveloped by the Rishus HaYachid. So if, let's say, I have a fire hydrant, I have a parking meter inside of Rishus HaYachid, the parking meter and the fire hydrant are not a makom tur. They are swallowed up by the Rishus HaYachid. Or I cannot have a karmelis in the midst of a Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid is mavato, everything else that's inside. As opposed to a fire hydrant or a parking meter in Rishus HaRabim, that would have the status of a makom tur. So there's no bitul Rishus by the other Rishuyos, but it would exist by Rishus HaYachid. The second property of Rishus HaYachid is that Avir Rishus HaYachid is Rishus HaYachid. The airspace of Rishus HaYachid is the status of Rishus HaYachid. That's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei and Sif Yud Be'ez. That Av Rishus HaYachid is Rishus HaYachid, but the Shulchan Aruch says that Av Rishus HaRabim is not Rishus HaRabim. So let's say the entire airspace is on top of the Rishus HaYachid, is part of the Rishus HaYachid, goes up out of the Rakia, because the Mechitzas project upward, but a Rishus HaRabim only goes until 10 Tvachim. After 10 Tvachim, the Rishus HaRabim ceases to be Tefes Makom. So that's unique to Rishus HaYachid, is that Av Rishus HaYachid is Kishus HaYachid, Av Rishus HaRam is not Kishus HaRam. Meshach gave the example that if you would throw over, when this was the street, if you would throw over the street, that they would be going from Rishus HaYachid to, you're not supposed to do that, by the way, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, we're afraid it's going to fall. But if you would throw from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, and there'd be Rishus HaRam in between, it would be considered as if it goes from Rishus HaYachid to Makom Tur to Rishus HaYachid, because Rishus HaRam only goes up until 10 Tfachim. So that's, again, another property of Rishus HaYachid doesn't exist by the other Rishuyos. Or the Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Vav, Kelim can be a Rishus HaYachid. Let's say you have a big refrigerator box. And the refrigerator box is 4 Tfachim wide by 4 Tfachim wide, and it's 10 Tfachim tall. That, in theory, could be a Rishus HaYachid. A table is probably not going to be a Rishus HaYachid. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa discusses that in Perek Yud Zayin, and quotes from Shlomo Zalman. It's probably not going to be Rishus HaYachid because it has no walls on the side, unless there's a Tzuras HaPesach within the table. So then maybe you could have, maybe. Unless it's like a structure, Rabbi Shechter would say, I don't know. But as he discusses, maybe a table could be, in theory, a Rishus HaYachid. But you can't have a Rishus HaRabim that's made out of Kelim. Or the Mishnah, right? Because if it's, no, the traffic, that's simply a technicality. Traffic isn't walking on top of on top of pots and pans, on top of kalim. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if Kalim Tezayin, over there, that ain't Karmelis B'Kalim either. There's no Karmelis B'Kalim. Anything that's Kalim can't be a Karmelis. You can have a Rishus HaYachid that's Kalim, you can't have a Rishus HaRabim, you can't have a Karmelis that's Kalim. So what do you do about Kalim then, in the middle of Rishus HaRabim? If it's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim wide and 10 Tefachim tall, it could be a Rishus HaYachid. What if it's not? And it sticks 3 Tefachim out of the Rishus HaRabim. So you can't have Rishus HaRabim by Kalim. The traffic is not going to jump on top of the Kalim. You can't have a Karmelis by Kalim because they would never geyser the whole din of Karmelis by Kalim. That's Rishus that exists only in the Rabbanim, would never geyser by Kalim. So the Sharat Tzion and Sifkan Tezvav discusses, well, what do we do then with Kalim in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim? Even if it's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim wide, maybe it should go back to being a Makom Tur because ain't Karmelis by Kalim. So he's not sure what to do with it. Maybe it is a Makom Tur. Maybe just like there's no Karmelis B'Kalim, there's no Makom Tur B'Kalim. Shaar HaTzion isn't sure. See, Achronim say, perhaps these 2 days in the Shaar HaTzion, he quotes him in Iri, I think, perhaps these 2 days, is long Shaar HaTzion over here, Sifkan Tezvon, that perhaps these 2 days have to do with that Chakira that Rav Menachem Zeber mentioned. What's the status of a Makom Tur? Is a Makom Tur Rishus, the Chazal have to be Geyser, or, you know, that has to have parameters, and perhaps just like in Karmelis B'Kalim, in Makom Tur B'Kalim. So then these Kalim in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, we're really not sure what to do with them. Maybe they should just blend back in to be part of the Rishus HaRabim, but they can't be a Makom Tur, because just like in Kamos became a Makom Tur B'Kalim, maybe no. The Makom Tur has no parameters unto itself. It's not a Rishus, as Yushalmi, omitted it entirely. It's just whatever doesn't fit into the other categories simply was undiscussed, like none of the above. So if Makom Tur is just none of the above, so then, okay, if Ein Kamos B'Kalim, it doesn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, and no one's jumping on top of it, so there's no traffic like Rishus HaRabim, it would just blend, Mimela become a Makom Tur. So this issue might depend on that, that we alluded to before. Another difference that exists between Rishus HaYachid and the other Rishuyos is the Shulchan Aruch mentions over here, Siv Dawid, is Halacha called Chayre Rishus HaYachid, which is like a window ledge, or a porch, which is an appendage to the Rishus HaYachid, also has the status of a Rishus HaYachid. Of course, Rishus HaRabim, the Rambam says, there's no such thing. There's no such halacha of Chayre Rishus HaRabim. Chayre Rishus HaRabim are nidon kefimi doiseyim. What that means is they're judged based on their own dimensions. So if it's 4 Tefachim by 4, well, let's say a Chayrim would be, let's say, off the main thoroughfare, Times Square, there's a little alcove in one of the buildings. So even though Times Square is a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, the little alcove is Nidon Kefimi Doseyim. So if it's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim wide and 10 Tefachim tall, it'll be Rishus HaYachid. If not, it's 4 Tefachim wide by 4 Tefachim wide, it'll be a Karmelis. And if it's less than that, it might even be a Makom Tur.
What did we say was L'maisa Chayre Rishus HaYachid? I remember Shepard's time at his porch.
We're going to get to 1 second, yeah. So if it's less than 3 Tefachim within to the floor of the Rishus HaRabim, everything blends in back to be part of the Rishus HaRabim because the people walk on it. But if it's above 3 Tefachim, so then it's Nidon Kefimi Doseyim, 4 Tefachim wide, 4 Tefachim wide, and 10 Tefachim tall, Rishus HaYachid. Anything less than that would be either a Karmelis or a Makom Tur. But in order to be considered an appendage to the Rishus HaYachid, the Mishnah Berurah discusses Sifkon Tes, Sifkon Yud, does it have to have specific dimensions? Meaning, does it have to be similar in any way to the dimensions that are required for Rishus HaYachid in order to even be an appendage that continues the properties of Rishus HaYochid. So one opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is it has to at least be Dal Tfachim wide by Dal Tfachim wide. So in which case a window ledge would not be a Rishus HaYochid, because it's not Dal Tfachim wide by Dal Tfachim wide. But on the other opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is not, it doesn't have to be Dal Tfachim wide by Dal Tfachim wide. The other opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Yod, is that perhaps it has to be 10 Tfachim tall. Again, they're trying to say, in order even to be an appendage of Rishus HaYochid, maybe it just has to have some similarity to Rishus HaYochid. So one opinion is it has to be 10 tefachim tall in order to even be considered an appendage to Rishus HaYochid. So that's why Rabbi Shechter mentioned that his porch in the country he didn't think was a chayre Rishus HaYochid, because it's not 10 tefachim tall. So if it would have been 10 tefachim tall, he meant you would have had to build a mechitza for another reason. Is even if it would be chayre Rishus HaYochid, you run into the problem of a market. You can't have a 10 tefachim tall elevation without a wall. Someone might fall off and kill himself. But if it would have been 10 tefachim tall, at least it would have had, perhaps, it would have been Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos, because of Chayri Rishus HaYochid. This, but again, that's Lekula. He didn't want to treat it as Chayri Rishus HaYochid. Lechumra, we're going to have to treat everything, even if it's any appendage to Rishus HaYochid, even if it's less than 4 tefachim wide or less than 10 tefachim tall, as Chayri Rishus HaYochid. And you should really not carry, therefore, from a Rishus HaRabim and put something on a window ledge or put something on any kind of deck of the house. That would be carrying from the Rishus HaRabim or a Carmelis into a what potentially might be Chayre Rishus HaYochid. So Shmira, yeah, you want to ask something?
So we need both?
No, the Mishnah Berurah discusses, quotes Achrayim, they're not linked, but the Mishnah Berurah discusses, some Achrayim say, Rishonim say you need, it has to be 4 Tefachim wide. Some Rishonim say it has to be 10 Tefachim tall. I think they're both driving at the same theme, which is that in order to be even considered related to Rishus HaYochid, it has to have some similarity, not just the fact that it happens to be there. We're machmir. So that's what Rishus HaYochid said, his porch, he wasn't willing to be makel to carry from his house onto his porch, but I don't think you would be makel either to carry from a Carmelis onto the porch.
So if we need both characteristics, essentially we just need a Rishus HaYochid.
Right. So what about the following situation, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa discusses, which used to be more of an issue here. Now the Erev in the Heights has expanded. But it used to be an issue here is that people, at least living in Manhattan, who don't rely on the Erev, so a lot of people have key belts. The key tie clip is a joke. It's like putting I don't know how people have it, but it's like putting a key around the string around your neck doesn't help. That's just a different way of carrying. But it has to be... Okay. If it's designer tie clip, if it's just an iron piece of metal that you fastened around your tie, I don't think so. Tie clips are back in style now, so I wouldn't say, already in the 90s they were out of style. Okay, maybe they're back in style now, a little bit. I haven't seen a guy, who is not Jewish walking around with a tie clip. But certainly just to, tie it around your neck wouldn't help. So people used to make the spoke in their belt, to keep the belt away. So that's really serving a function as part of the garment. Okay, fun. But now you're going to get to your house, and you're going to take the key out of the belt. And what are you going to do with it? You're going to stick it into the keyhole. But Shmir Shabbos says, but isn't your keyhole chayre Rishus HaYochid? So what have you solved? Yeah, you haven't, done Mavir Dadam, it's just a rabbi carrying the key in your belt around town. But now you're going to come home, and you're going to lose it the last moment, because you're going to stick it into the keyhole you just carried from a Carmelis, your porch, or outside your house, outside your apartment building, into the chayr, which is the keyhole. That's what Shmir Shabbos Kochasa discusses. So he distinguishes between two different types of keyholes. You have the proverbial keyhole, which you could see through. That's chayr, which is hayachid. But our keyholes, he claims, have lock mechanisms within them. So you can't see through to the Rishus HaYochid. That's not even an appendage to the Rishus HaYochid. That's b'chal not chayr, Rishus HaYochid. That's like a cavity in the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, but it isn't even a cavity at all. It doesn't stick through to Rishus HaYochid, so no one would argue it's Chayr Rishus HaYochid. But even without that argument, the Betzel HaChokhmah, that's a Betzel Stern, who's a Roman Vienna, quotes from the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Nun Beis of Kohen Yud, who says, let's say I take half an item and stick it into Rishus HaYochid, but I don't stick the whole item in, like the key. Half the key always sticks out, right, the head of the key. And the leg of the key is the one that sticks into the lock. So part of it though is still sticking out. Is that called moitzim rishus rishus? So Mishnah Berurah says that in a Carmelis is permitted, rishus harabim is prohibited. So if you're only in a Carmelis, and anyway you're only sticking half the key in, after you take the key out, you're going to put it back in your. Right? You can't hold the key and walk inside either, right? That's for sure no good. you have to put the key back in your, hold the door open with your foot, put the key back in your belt, and then walk inside. Otherwise, you just carried weiter from the Carmelis. If you take the key out of your belt, turn the lock, and then walk in carrying the key. Forget about the lock. You just carry the key into the vestibule. So you have to, this is only in the buildings, that have the lock on the outer door. But if you have the lock on the outer door, then you have to be careful also, by the way, when you push the key in, a lot of them you have to turn and push. You can't turn and push the key all the way in. You have to turn, push, prop it with your leg, put the key back in your belt, and then if you're going to be machmir for Erevin, you got to be machmir, and then put it back in your belt, and then walk inside. Yeah.
If the door is like recessed just a little bit in.
Yeah.
So it's,
if it has dal tefachim by dal tefachim, then the shir makom, then it could be a rishus hayachid, but it would have to have four walls. Or it'd be a kamalis. You're carrying from a kamalis. That's Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, maybe, but it wouldn't help you. But wait a minute, why are we so bothered with all this? Let's say you have a porch, or you have, let's say a guy lives in Brooklyn, he doesn't carry with the area, but he has, a lot of houses do in that part of New York. He has a few steps, you go up, and there's a porch. Why shouldn't the porch be considered, chori Rosh Hashanah in and of itself? Rabbi Shechter discussed with his porch in the country. So the Shulchan Aruch actually writes over here, Shimon Vav Sif Gimel, this very issue discussing carrying a key from carrying an item from an eskupa into the inside of a house. And the Shulchan Aruch presumes that it's not considered to be a Rishus HaYachad or Chayr Rishus HaYachad. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says you have to be careful to make sure that you don't carry from one to the next unless it's going to be, it's going to have actually walls around the eskupa, around the stoop. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav asks, why? Why isn't a porch considered to be a Chayr Rishus HaYachad? Even if it is 10 Tefachim tall, even if it is 4 Tefachim wide, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, that's no good. Why? Why shouldn't it be Chayr Rishus HaYachad? So he suggests, whenever you have a porch that opens up to Rishus HaRabim or to a Karmos, as well as to the house, who's to say that the porch is only for the servicing of the people in the house, that it should be considered Chayr Rishus HaYachad? Why isn't it, also for the use of the people from the Karmos, the mailman, the UPS man, the paper delivery guy is all going to use the porch too. So Shulchan Aruch Harav claims whenever it could be used both by the people of the house as well as by the people of the Karmelis, we can't really call it, we can't justify calling it Chayr Rishus HaYachad. So even if it might be 10 Tefachim tall, even if it is 4 Tefachim wide, it's questionable whether that could be considered Chayr Rishus HaYachad. If it's a deck in the back of your house, a deck is only for your use. It's not for the use of the Bnei HaKarmelis. So then, if it's 10 Tefachim wide, or if you're in the country and isolated, right, and there are no people coming to your porch, but if your porch is used both by the Bnei HaKarmelis as well as by the Bnei HaBayis, it's hard to call it Chayr Rishus HaYachad. The porch and the deck, in the back, that might be Chayr Rishus HaYachad if it's designed properly. Okay, so that's what you need in order to be considered a Rishus HaYachad, and those are the different properties of Rishus HaYachad.
The porch is 10 Tefachim off the ground.
If it has a platform, if it has walls beneath it. If it doesn't have walls beneath it, how can you call it a Rishus
HaYachad? So it's like it's probably going to be like solid cement.
Yes, correct.
Then we say good
answer. Yeah, but what about the stairs? You're going to run into a problem with the stairs. The stairs considered to be a mechitza.
Right.
If we take the tour, we'll discuss it with Rabbi Shechter on the way. He likes to discuss that. Stairs might or might not be considered a mechitza because you walk over them. So it might, even if they're arranged, whether you have, it goes up, in the proper angle, 10 tefachim, you talk to Aramas, but it's, if you walk over it, it's hard to call it a mechitza. Maybe yes, maybe no, maybe yes. There are those on both sides of that issue. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch discusses over here, Sif Yudalid, one kind of a karmelis, which we mentioned already, which was a yam or a bika, which has a makom of dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim, but at the same time doesn't have walls. So it's not a Rishus HaYachad, but it's not a Makom Tur either, really, because it has Dalet Tefachim and Dalet Tefachim. So Chazal converted it into a Karmelis. Why is a wall, the water considered to be a Karmelis? Isn't there always walls around the water? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Memches, that we must be talking about a scenario where the, like a lake, where the beach is gradual, and there isn't a sudden drop. Since there isn't a sudden drop, so that's why the water is considered to be a kamos, not Rishus HaYachad. But let's say you're talking about water, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about even the Yam HaGadol, right? Even the oceans are not considered to be Rishus HaYachad, even though they have that continental shelf all around them on all sides. So the Mishnah Berurah there quotes from the Meiri, which is where Rabbi Shechter quoted as well, that if it's based on the Ramban and the Rashba, that the continental shelf cannot be considered a mechitza for the neither for the continents nor for the oceans or body of water. if it's so big, you know, tezayinama, that you don't feel, or 32 amas across diameter, or tezayinama radius, that you don't feel that you're enclosed, so then it wouldn't be considered a
Rosh Hashanah. What's the share of being enclosed? What's the share?
That's what he quoted. Rabbi Meish and the Chayyadim both said tezayinama in all directions, so it's lamed beis amah across. So any body of water that's bigger than that, even if it has walls underneath the water, wouldn't be considered to be a Rosh Hashanah. So generally, that's why the Shulchan Aruch says water is considered to be kamos. It generally doesn't have mechitzos. Even if it does, sometimes usually they're too gradual. Even if it's smaller, usually they're very gradual, right? You don't have a sudden drop into a lake. It's usually usually pretty gradual. Then the Shulchan Aruch discusses another type of karpif. See, this type of karpif this type of kamalis is that it doesn't have walls, so it's not a Rishus HaYachim, it does not have heavily traffic, so it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's not going to be a Makom Tur, because that's 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim is Shir Makom. However, there's another type of kamalis, which is a karpif, that's discussed by the Shulchan Aruch, Shim and Vav Siv Gimel, where you have a place, even if it has mechitzas, where the mechitzas were not put up ledira, the mechitzas were put up for a different purpose. Yeah?
Planting.
Yeah, okay. For planting. Or even if you have an area where they were put up ledira, if the majority, right, of the area is not used ledira, so the Shulchan Aruch discusses that perhaps that would also be a karpif. The minimum size of a karpif is based on sayim, which is 70 yamas for 70 yamas. So it's about a third of a football field, right? 125 feet by 125 feet, which is not very big at all. But if you have that size of an area, even if it's in the midst of another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, certainly if that's all that's there, so then even though there are walls around it, you're not allowed to carry there. Chazal converted that into to be a kamalis midrabanan. Now that's a very different type of kamalis, because that kamalis has walls. Just Chazal said, since the walls wouldn't put up ladira, or the walls are not serving ladira, so therefore you can't carry there. That's really Rosh Hashanah Yochid midaraisa Chazal converted to being a kamalis, as opposed to, let's say, the Yam and the Bika never had walls in the first place. That started out as a Makom Tur, which Chazal converted to a kamalis. So even though they come from very different ancestries, these two different types of kamalios, the Mishnah Berurah says one can carry, you know, the Tok Dalet Amos from one kamalis to the other kamalis, one gender of kamalis to the other one, and it won't be considered to be Mavir Mirushus Rishus or anything like that. Even though, because once Chazal established the category midrabban of a kamalis, wherever it came from, it doesn't matter anymore. They all have the status, the same status. But since a kamalis, you know, those kamalios that have their ancestry in a Makom Tur, since many of them do have their ancestry in a Makom Tur, that does make a difference. Because the Rama writes over here in Sif Yud Tes, right at the beginning, Shin Mem Hei Sif Yud Tes, that he discusses whether or not you could have, we mentioned earlier, you could have a Makom Tur in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, right? You have a fire hydrant or a parking meter that sticks up out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but it's not 4 Tefachim wide, but 4 Tefachim wide doesn't have a Shir Makom, so it's not a kamalis. They have the status of a Makom Tur. But the Rama discusses, can you have, and again, Rosh Hashanah Yochid swallows everything up. You can't have a Makom Tur in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, but you can't have it in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. What about in a kamalis? What would be the status of a Makom Tur in a kamalis? So the one opinion the Rama is, we say Matzuminus Mina Veneir, which is like a Yeridea term, but that since you know, the Makom Tur, the kamalis has its roots as a Makom Tur midaraisa. But nonetheless, Chazal converted it since it has a sheer Makom to be a kamalis. So perhaps when they did so, they included every Makom Tur in that vicinity, that it should also be labeled as a kamalis. So we say the Makom Tur in the midst of the kamalis was also labeled, even though this one doesn't have a sheer Makom of Dalet Tefachim, but Dalet Tefachim would also be labeled as a kamalis. The other opinion of the Rama is, we don't say Matzumin is Min of an Eir, and you can, just like you can have a Makom Tur in the middle of a Shusaram, you can have a Makom Tur in the middle of a kamalis. Chesko Bramsi claims in the Chazon Yechesko that, again, this should depend on that issue we mentioned all the way at the beginning. What is the nature of a Makom Tur? Is a Makom Tur the fourth Rishus, like the Talmud Bavli implies, in which case maybe a Makom Tur has its own legitimacy, right, its own integrity, even in the midst, in the face of the kamalis. You know, Chazal or Goizer, if it has 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim, it has the status of a kamalis. Makom Tur has its own parameters and doesn't get swallowed up by the larger kamalis. But if Makom Tur, again, is just anything that doesn't fit into the other categories, it's like a safety net of Rishuyos. It's, you know, the E-Rishus. It's just whatever is left over, the Shirayim of Rishuyos. So then, if, you know, Chazal or Goizer in this area should have the status of a kamalis, maybe they swallowed up within all of that Makom Tur, because it doesn't have its own integrity. Maybe the issue is related. It has an afkamina lamaisa. A guy walks out of his house. He doesn't realize he has a tissue in his pocket and there's no Erev in the town. So what are you supposed to do now? So it's always one of those shilohs you don't have time to look up later, right? Because you're walking in the middle of that, and, you know, there are a few of those. So what do you do now? So if you do look it up before it ever happened to you, or it happened to you once and then you looked it up, so you'll know that you have a few options before you. One of them is to continue walking and then walk back to where you came from without stopping. The other is to continue to walk to another Rosh Hashayach without stopping. But the best, because in order to be Chai for Itzan Shabbos, of course, you need an Akira, picking it up in one Rosh Hashanah, and a Hanacha, putting it down in another Rosh Hashanah. And if you keep walking, it's never considered to be a Hanacha. So, but the best option is, while you're walking, to put it down in a Makom Tur, assuming it will rest there. If it falls right off, that's not considered a Hanacha either. But if it will rest there, so then that would be considered, that's the best option. Because then you carry it from a Rosh Hashayachid to a Makom Tur is even better than walking back to the original Rosh Hashayachid. So where's your Makom Tur? Ah, fire hydrant, parking meter. Doesn't have Dal Tfachim, but yet it sticks up 3 Tfachim out of the Rosh Hashayachid. Great. The problem is, most of us are not walking around in Times Square, right? Which is undoubtedly a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. But where else? So where are we walking? We're walking in some suburb which hasn't built an Eruv yet, or some place which is debatable whether it's a Rosh Hashanah or not, right? So then, but if it's a Carmelis, there's no such thing perhaps as a Makom Ptur in a Carmelis. So maybe this then jumped from the top, you know, it went from the top of the list in terms of Eitzes, what you should do if you find that you're carrying something by accident, to the bottom of the list. Because in a Kamos, there is no such thing as a Makom Tur according to half the Rishonim and 2 days in the Ramah. So therefore, it's probably not, not the best idea, unless, you know, you happen to be walking in something which is undoubtedly Rosh Hashanah, where a Makom Tur would exist.
If you stop walking, but you didn't know you have the tissue with you.
Then you're a Shoygig or a Masasik.
Yeah, Masasik.
Yeah,
but usually people stop walking without knowing that they have the tissue in their pocket. So
then there's no Shiloh what to do because you're not going to do anything. It's only Shiloh when it comes up when a guy's walking and he realizes he puts his hand in his pocket. Now what? If you get to shul and you realize, so then klap al chet for the
chet
shechatanu ba'inus. What is the status halach of a karmelis? So the Gemara says in Meshech B'Shabbos, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Mem Hei Sifka in Ayin Gimel, that Nasubo Kule, they gave it the Kule Rishus HaYachin and the Kule Rishus HaRabim. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yerches, there's no concept of Chayrim when it comes to a karmelis, because it has the Kule of Rishus HaRabim. That's considered to be a Chumra of Rishus HaYachin, is that it extends to the Chayrim. On the other hand, it only goes up to 10 Tfachim tall, like a Rishus HaRabim. It's not, doesn't have the Chumra of Rishus HaYachin. That's Avi Rishus Hayachid Rishus Hayachid. But at the same time, Rishus Hayachid is only exists if it's Dal Tfachim Dal Tfachim. It has that Kula. Rishus Haram, you know, has its own dimensions. Rishus Hayachid is only if it's Dal Tfachim Dal Tfachim. So it gets that Kula also, that it has to have Dal Tfachim Dal Tfachim. So it has some properties of Rishus Hayachid, some properties of Rishus Haram, but fundamentally, you're not allowed to carry there, just like Rishus Haram. But on that halacha that the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that ain't kamalis amal me'asara, just like Rishus HaRabim is only toifis until 10 tefachim, so the kamalis is only until 10 tefachim. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes a big machlek sarishanim, the Mishnah Berurah sifkan samach vav, about what does that mean, ain't kamalis amal me'asara. The pashup shot would mean like it does in Rishus HaRabim, that the avir of the Rishus HaRabim is only considered to be part of the Rishus HaRabim until 10 tefachim tall. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sin Sif Tez Vav. He quotes the discussion of the Gag HaBoilet, which is the Gemara in the Sefer Erevin and Daf Pei Tes. I don't remember if Hashem drew this picture. He usually does, but I don't remember seeing it. This situation, then you have the roof sticking out. The Gag HaBoilet. So the Gemara discusses what's the status of first this area and this area. The area on top of the buildings and the protruding balcony. And discussed by the Shulchan Aruch over here in Sif Tezvav. So the Gemara says it's not a Rosh Hashayachid, it would probably be a Carmelis on top in Area A and Area B. It doesn't have walls, right? But it's Dal Tfachim ostensibly, perhaps. At least Area B doesn't have walls. And it's more than Dal Tfachim by Dal Tfachim. However, Taisus there. Doesn't matter. Oh, so it's above 10 tefachim from the ground.
Oh, so it's Rishus HaYochid.
So we'll get to one second. So the our Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, says that A is a Carmelis too, which we'll have to figure out why. B is a Carmelis and A is a Carmelis. That's what it says in the Talmud Bavli. Tais is there quoting the Yerushalmi that disagrees, and that's the Vilna Gaon thinks we should pass on the Yerushalmi, that no, it's a Makom Tur. Because A in Carmelis, Lamala Me'asara. So what the Yishami is saying is that in Kamos Lama Marisar doesn't mean what we thought it meant. It doesn't mean that the airspace of a Kamos only goes up 10 Tfachim. It means you can't have a Kamos because I would never Goizer a Kamos in the air. Not on the ground, the basic ground level. Anything that's above the basic ground level, Chazal will never Goizer should be a Kamos. So that's the opinion of the Talmud Yushalmi, that in Kamos Lama Marisar means that it can't exist above 10 Tfachim from the ground. Talmud Bavli assumes that it means that the airspace doesn't go above 10 Tfachim. But the Vilna Gaon thinks we should pass like the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Bir Halacha there. And Sift Hezvav quotes, Sift Hezayin quotes from that Vilna Gaon in the Talmud Yerushalmi. However, over here also there's two opinions why A is considered to be a Kamalus. B is certainly a Kamalus according to the Talmud Bavli, and Kamalus Amam Esar just means that the airspace only goes up 10 Tvachim. But this the fact that it's above 10 Tvachim from the ground doesn't matter. You can still have a Kamalus in the air. So B is for sure a Kamalus. It doesn't have walls and it's 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. What is a Shir Mokom? But A is also a Kamalus. Why? Why should A be a Kamalus? The Shochmar says that you can't carry on A. Why not? So here there's two opinions. The Chazanish says that it's because when this sticks out 4 Tvachim beyond this Mechitza is no longer considered to be a Mechitza Hanikaris. And the Gemara says in Erevin, Shochmar mentioned at length, in order to say good Asik Mechitza, to view the mechitza as if it goes until above, and in order to enclose area A, so you have to have mechitzas hanikaras. It has to be recognizable. And over here, it's not nikar because it's 4 tefachim wide. If this would be less than 4 tefachim wide, so then this would be nikar, I guess, because you could kind of lean over and I see there's a mechitza down there. But once it's 4 tefachim wide, that's the way the Chazon Ish learns. It's no longer mechitza hanikaras, and therefore this mechitza is boxed out, or Rav Shechta would say, from area A. That's how the Chazon Ish learned. However, the Maharsha learns that Tosfos differently. The Maharsha says learns that Gemara differently. The Maharsha says, no, the reason why area A is considered to be a Kamalus is because area B is a Kamalus. And area B is Nifratz to A, is open without any obstruction into area A. So area A, you're right, might have been independently, which is Hayaku, but now that it's Nifrat, so Makam Asalo, Nifrat, into area B, area A is prohibited to carry as well. If this would be less than Dalat Tvachim, then it would have been permitted. Why? Because then this is not a Kamalus. In order to be a Kamalus, it has to be Dalat Tvachim by Dalat Tvachim. That's the first rule of Kamalus. It has to be Shir Makam. So then it wouldn't be Nifrat to Makam Asalo. Once this is 4 Tvachim wide, then area A becomes Nifrat to Makam Asalo. But what is Taisa, what is the Maharsha fundamentally assuming? He claims that's what Taisa held as well, is that area A is considered to be Rishus HaYachid, even though the Mechitzas are not Mikaros at all. Wow. Even though it's not Nikar on top at all. So our motion is tshuva about the bridges over the Erev on the outskirts of the outer outskirts of the island of Manhattan. So our motion was discussing the bridge goes over the mechitzas that's below. So Shachla said, "Well, the mechitzas that's below cannot possibly serve to enclose the bridge because it's not nikar agabi the bridge." That is the opinion of the Chazon Ish. However, Ramosha says, I have two other opinions who disagree with that. Number one, Ramosha says, I have the Talmud Yerushalmi and Kamalus Lamalame Asara. So the bridge is Mamash and Makom Ptur. Wow. That's the Talmud Yerushalmi says. Everything above 10 Tvachim from the ground is a Makom Ptur. And moreover, says Ramosha, since there are Mechitzas below, the opinion of Tosfos and the Maharsha might be that once you have Mechitzas below, even though the Mechitzas are not Nikaras above, Midoy Raisa, the areas of Rishus HaYachad. The only thing I have to be concerned about is Nifrat Tzalmakom Asalo. So Ramay just says, let's build the Tzuras HaPesach in the middle of the bridge. No one ever did. But let's build the Tzuras HaPesach in the middle of the bridge, and then that should be enough. Because you have two out of three opinions that it should be allowed. Rav Shechter disagreed. Rav Shechter felt that the other two opinions should not be accepted. We should pass like the Chazon Ish, that in order to be considered Rishus HaYachad, it has to have Mechitzos Hanikaros, it has to be recognizable mechitzos. All of that revolves around that one sif in Shulchan Aruch, sif design, and all the different ways of writing that.
Sif is also
Shin Mem Hei, sif design.
Sif
design. Yeah, Gaga Boilei, the mechitzos abayis. Look over there, the Bir Halacha. You'll get the whole picture. Okay, that's the Karmelis. What is the you need in order to be considered? We discussed Rishus HaYachid, we discussed Karmelis. What do you need in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara says Masech LeShabbos. It's quoted over here in Sif Zion. That Rishus HaRabim is a Sratya. The Gemara only says Sratya or Platya. as which is a, we'll get to in a second, but probably a, you know, a highway or a big thoroughfare. Rashi and other Rishonim add a bunch of other spell out the other requirements in order to be Rishus Haram. Because the Gemara says that the encampment of the Jewish people in the Midbar was Tezayin Amawad by Tezayin Amawad. So therefore, in order to be Rishus Haram, the Rishonim assumed it has to be just like the encampment of which, again, was the where the Isur Pratzah is derived from. Has to be Tezayin Amawad. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, the sidewalk is included too, by the way. Most people don't realize that. They think the street has to be Tezayin Amawad. There's no difference between traffic that's out, you know, in Halacha. There's no difference between traffic that's foot traffic or traffic that's car traffic. They're all traffic. So they would, even the sidewalk is included, so then, you know, the many, many more streets would be considered Tezayin Amawad. Shulchan Aruch discusses, actually it's a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch between Sif, Zayin and Ches, or Ches and Tes. Yeah, between, I think, Ches and Tes, about a Rishus HaRabim, that's Miskatzer. It was Tezayin Amawad, then it gets more narrow, and then it gets wider again. Shulchan Aruch says initially that that is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, and then the Shulchan Aruch says it's not considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, so the Mishnah Berurah resolves the contradiction. If it gets very, very narrow, less than Yud Gimel Amos Ushlish, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. If it maintains at least the width of Yud Gimel Amos Ushlish, then it is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim throughout. Also, the Gemara says that the encampment of the Klaus on the Midbar was not Makura, so anything that, you know, had no ceiling over it, no roof, so anything that has a roof also would not be similar to the encampment of Klaus on the Midbar and would not be a viable candidate in order to be considered Rishus HaRam. I don't know, but you know, there's, you know, Rabbi Ram. Everyone knows Rabbi Ram. He's a rabbi, Bialystok Shtibo, Boichan and Yeshiva, I think. So he's mamish, I would say, the lion's den of Erevin, right, is in the Lower East Side, but a lot of the Jews there live in two buildings that are across the street from one another. But it's a problem, you can't carry back and forth. So he tried to build a roof, literally lovage strings, between the two buildings. And I think Rudava didn't accept that either. He said, no. So I don't know. Okay, so it can't be Makura. If it is Makura, it can't be Rishus HaRabim, but I'm not sure why Rudava wasn't happy about that.
Could be harmless?
I don't know. You have to speak to them, I don't know. Rashi also writes, it's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch, in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim, it has to be Mechuvin Mishar Lashar, similar to the way the Diglei Midbar were. They were traveling in a straight encampment, so too over here has to be Mechuvin Mishar Lashar. However, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch when he quotes this halacha, it sounds like it only applies, I mean, if you just read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, it only applies in a city that has a wall. Then it has to be Mechuvin Mishar Lashar. And that's where the Mishkan is Yaakov, Rechai, Moise, Rechai, Chazanis, and his Tshuva, in his discussion about the Arab in Paris, Paskins, that has to have a wall. Why? It makes a lot of sense. See, because if you have a walled city, right, and you have a street that goes straight through, so if it's Mechuva Mishar Lashar, that's, there's no walls around it. If it's not Mechuva Mishar Lashar, right, let's say you have like this, and then it goes like this, so if it's not Mechuva Mishar Lashar, I have three walls. So I have literally walls around it, it should say, okay, Midiraisa. So perhaps that's why you needed the requirement of Mechuvin Mishar Lashar, because we're talking about a walled city, and if it's not, you know, if it's a walled city, if it doesn't go straight through, we'll have walls around it inevitably. However, Rav Shechter quoted the Tshuva, huh?
That left side one.
Yeah.
That's Rishus HaYochin Eisom?
No.
Are they?
That's Rishus HaRabim.
So what are the
two walls?
Because it only has two walls.
It only has two walls.
You see, it only has
two walls. I thought it was really four walls, but
right, but none of them are around the road.
Yeah,
but none of them are around the road. So, you're saying over here. Maybe, yeah, but this appears to be yes and the answer.
Maybe
we'd have to draw a picture differently. I'm not sure. All right, good horror. However, Shlomo David Kahana, Rav Shechter quoted, was a Rav in Warsaw. I quoted his Tshuva, which I believe appears in the Tshuva's Divrei Menachem from Menachem Zemba, from Menachem Kasher, who built the Erev in Manhattan. So he argues now it applies, even the language of the Shulchan Aruch is built in Meduyak, it applies even if it's not a walled city. In order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim, it has to be Mefulish Mishal Lashar, you know, it has to kind of go straight through the city, and that's why the larger, Rav Shechter gave the imagery, the larger the city is, the more unlikely it is that you'll have a street that goes straight through. However, Rav Moshe asks, he doesn't understand the Svar. Why should it have to go straight through? He said he looked high and low in the Rishonim, he couldn't find the Svar for this. So the truth of the matter is, the Meiri says the Svar. The Miri says the Svara is, it makes a lot of sense in the time of automobiles, is because if it's straight, you can gun it, right? You can step on the gas and go fast. If it curves, you got to slow down. You can't go as fast. So the traffic is not as unimpeded when it's straight as opposed to when it's curved. That's what the Miri says. Even though they weren't traveling that fast on their donkeys, but yeah. That's what Miri says. However, Amisha, because he couldn't really justify this halacha, really redefined it somewhat. Not that it has to go straight through the city, but what it means is that the Rishus HaRabim has to maintain the other qualities of Rishus HaRabim, the other qualifications, throughout. But it doesn't actually have to go straight through the city. So it can't have a wall, you know, a roof over it that has to maintain Tezainam Y throughout. But not that it actually has to go through the entire city. Ramosha even claimed, even if it's a dead end in a larger city, it could even it would even have the status of a Rishus HaRabim, as long as it has the other properties of Rishus HaRabim, Tezan and Mawad and Omakura, and you know the proper amount of traffic. The problem with Ramosha is the Shulchan Aruch says Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer is a Rishus HaRabim, even though it loses part of the dimensions in the middle of it. Or let's say, according to Ramosha, that would mean every overpass, right, would render the road that's beneath it as not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, which is hard to believe that every highway that has an overpass over it is not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. But that was Ramosha's Shita. I would say the classical approach over here to what it means to be Mafuish Mishar Lashar is what they call in the name of Ramosha Bik, who was involved in many Erevin, that Mafuish Mishar Lashar means that it's an unobstructed road that goes straight through, meaning there is a clear path to go straight through the city, even if you have to weave in and out. Not Shlomo David Kahana. According to Shlomo David Kahana, I mean, it'd be very hard to find a street that's Rishus HaRabim. So most assume that what it means is there's a way through the city that's mafulash, mishal l'shar. You can get from one side of the city to the other. That's why Moshe Bick is famous for saying that it's mafulash from New York all the way to California. Because you can, there's some way to get from one end to the other. Yeah.
Sounds like Moshe not here in the Kew Garden Hills area with something like Main Street, which seemingly is mostly mafulash.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be problematic? I
was. Who said there's 600,000 people on Main Street?
Oh, right, so that's the...
Yeah. So those are the different definitions of Mafuash. In order, though, to be Rishus HaRabim, the Shulchan Aruch continues, the Vipassan, thank you for bringing the next topic, the Vipassan, you need perhaps 600,000 people on the streets of on the street of the city every day, yeah?
Vipassan, even if there's no walls?
We never rely on Mafuash Mishal Lashar in order to determine whether an area is... I've never heard of any place saying, well, there's 600,000 people there, but it's not Mafuash Mishal Lashar, so we're not going to consider Rishus HaRabim. It's usually not the first... it's another consideration. It's hard to say. I've never seen an error that fell on that issue. I've been involved in a lot of it. It's never come down to that. Yeah.
So any time, if you walk into Rishus HaRabim and you have an apartment house that has an awning protruding onto the street, you can sound for the awning. It's not Rishus HaRabim. Or not?
It's not Rishus HaRabim, so you won't get... Hatos for skila,
but it's
karmelis. Okay, yeah. But you still can't carry the karmelis.
Karmelis. Which means you can carry from under the awning into Rishus HaRabim Yepoter.
There's no chatos. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's still not mutter though. We like to get to mutter. Yeah. So
the
Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions over here in Siv Zayin, whether or not you need 600,000 people also, just like for just the population of Klal Yisrael that travels throughout the Midbar, do you need that number of people also in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim? The Mishnah Berurah writes from the fact that he quotes this only as a Yesh Oimrim, that means based on the general rules of interpreting the Shulchan Aruch, that he doesn't paskin that way. However, in the Sharatzin, however, he writes in the Sifkon Chavbez, in the name of the Magen Avraham, it sounds like another place in the Shulchan Aruch that he does feel that we perhaps don't have a Rishus HaRabim anymore nowadays because you need 600,000 people, which was not common. So therefore, he says it sounds like from elsewhere in the Shulchan Aruch, even though from this one location in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like we really shouldn't accept this condition. From other places in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like this is required, and you could be lenient that in order to be Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, it has to have 600,000 people.
In Shem Gimel there by Tachshitim.
He has a bunch of places, yeah.
Yeah.
The Ramah sounds like that too, because the Ramah says in Shem Mem Vav Siv Gimel, we don't have Rishus HaRabim Bizman Hazeh anymore. Why don't we have Rishus HaRabim Bizman Hazeh? So the answer, the assumption generally is because we don't have areas that are that densely populated. If you wouldn't need 600,000 people, why should we not have Rishus HaRabim anymore? Nonetheless, the Bir Alach and the Mishnah Berurah both say that the Baal Nefesh should be Machmer on himself, and it says in the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, that's why the Chofetz Chaim was Nizar not to carry in most Erevin, because he assumed that he was machmir to pass like that opinion. You don't need 600,000 people in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim. So it's much more likely that any one area will be considered a Rishus HaRabim. But there is, the Beis Ephraim writes, as well as Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there is some minimal traffic that you need, right? It can't be that every place that's Tezayin Amah wide that's unimpeded is Rishus HaRabim. There has to be some heavy traffic. What the nature of that is less than 600,000 people, but it has to be something that's greater than a standard, a suburban street. So it's got to be something a little bit more substantive, but we don't necessarily have a hard and fast definition, but it has to be something that's significant, not something that's insignificant. How do we measure those 600,000 people? So Shulchan Aruch says, huh?
Are there no criteria given?
No. But, a main street, a Queens Boulevard, these would probably fit into the definition, yeah. But I'd have a hard time believing my street. It's just around there, right? There's 20 cars a day. How could it be? Yeah. What?
A large street where a lot of cars go by.
Yeah, that's Rishus HaRabim. If you don't need 600,000 people, it'll probably be something like that. Even if you do need 600,000 people, though, how do you measure the 600,000 people? So Shulchan Aruch says you need 600,000 people over and above Chol Yom that travel there every day. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Kol Chabdalot, he checked high and low and all the Rishonim. He never found that additional detail that they have to pass there every day. He never found it. However, the later Achronim show it's a Ramban, the Beis Yosef quotes a Sefer HaTruma. It's mamish found in many, many Rishonim that Bahag, Beis Yosef, Rabbeinu Yerucham, that you have to. He needs 600,000 people there every day, but the Mishnah Berurah says he couldn't find it in any Rishonim. The Bir Halacha, though, then quotes from the Ritva and the Ran that they say even according to those who require 600,000 people, what it means it has to be pasuach, has to be open to 600,000 people, but not necessarily that they actually travel there every day. By the way, someone told me they clocked the guy who did it. It's not like Pierre Shmua. The guy clocked it. They measured outside of Madison Square Garden, Penn Station. There are 600,000 people over in Bobokolia. Anyway, so fine. So without any cheshbonis, 600,000 people there. But okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. The Bir Halacha says a little bit more machmir, as long as it's open to 600,000 people. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan discusses, what about train tracks? Train tracks are certainly available to 600,000 people every day. Whether or not it is actually traveled by 600,000 people might depend on the traffic pattern. But if since it's open to that kind of population, it would have the status of a Rishus HaRabim according to the Ritva and the Ramban. The Sharatzi and the Rats and Shimem Hesiv Kan Chav Hey, a different definition. That it doesn't mean 600,000 people travel on this one spot, X marks the spot every day. And it doesn't even mean that it's open to 600,000 people every day. What it means is there are 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given point in time. And that was the definition that was adopted by Rav Moshe. So how do you define a city? So Rav Moshe assumed, 600,000 people on the streets of a city. Well, where does it stop? Where does it begin? So Rav Moshe assumed it was Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, which is the shear of the machne that Kol Yisrael had in the Midbar. So as long as there's 600,000 people on the streets of a city in the density, right, of an area of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, then the entire city, which according to Rav Moshe includes dead ends, right, because that was his shita by Mefulash, would have the status of a Rishus HaRabim. How are you going to figure that out, though?
It means they don't have 600,000 people in the desert.
In any one... No. Right, even during the day, if there's 600,000 people. Right. How do you figure that out, though? How are you going to measure that if it's not in one spot? Right, one spot you can measure in our times, right? You have video cameras. But how are you going to measure it? So Moshe did a study in sociology. His argument was, at any given point in time, one in every five people, one in every six people... And every household is found on the streets of the city at any given point in time. So that was his. One in every five, or one in every,
six.
I don't know, one in every five, one in every four. I think it was one in every five, one in every four people in every household is found on the streets of the city at any given point in time. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, if you have 2.4 million, or between 2.4 million and 3 million people, living in a density of an area of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, so you can assume, right, yeah, that at any given point in time, one out of four, one out of five of them are in the streets of the city, and therefore you'll have 600,000 people roaming the streets of the city at any given moment in time. So then the whole area should be considered Rishus HaRabim. So that's why Rav Moshe was opposed to building the area of Flatbush, because he felt you have that the saturation, that kind of density of population.
You have 2.4 million in Flatbush alone. This whole city only has 8 million.
All right, I don't know. And that, within Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, is pretty big. So it's pretty big. That's why Rav Moshe was opposed to it. Wow, so all the Talmidim Rav Moshe asked, so the very next Shuvah Rav Moshe, he was makel to build an Erev in Forest Hills, an Erev in Kew Gardens Hills. What's the difference? Seems to have a similar kind of density of population. So the Talmidim Rav Moshe explained that Rav Moshe felt that, if you know the layout of the topography of Kew Gardens Hills, you'll know that Kew Gardens Hills and Forest Hills are divided by highways all over. It's like a... You have the Jackie Robinson and the Grand Central and the LIE and all around you, kind of highways. So Rav Moshe felt that the highways divided the areas, and therefore each one was kind of distinct, and they didn't join up. The density of population didn't join up together to be considered one city. So that's why he was Mako over there, and he wasn't Mako in Brooklyn. All right. Even if you do require 600,000 people in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim, Rav Shaphtar quoted the Magen Avraham, which is mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah, Shim Mem Hei Sifkon Yud Zayin, and he felt was explained better by the Orchas Chaim Sapinka, and that is that a highway doesn't need 600,000 people. In fact, this issue, Drach Mahoch Meir Le'ir, should not require 600,000 people. The only time it requires 600,000 people is if you're talking about one given street, but if it's Drach Mahoch Meir Le'ir, it doesn't require 600,000 people. This issue was actually, though, debated by the Avnei Nezer, and the Shuvas Malka, it's quoted by the Shuvas Avnei Nezer, Sima Reisha and Gimel. Do you require 600,000 people even on a highway? And the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, who said that you don't. And he proved it from the Ramah. I'm sorry, who said that you do. You need 600,000 people even on a highway. He was Mako. And he proved it from the Ramah, because the Ramah said, nowadays we don't have any more Rishus HaRabim. Why don't we have any Rishus HaRabim anymore? They have no highways. They have no Drachim HaHokam HaYilayir. How'd they get from one place to the next? Must be, even on a highway, you need 600,000 people. And they just didn't have that kind of densely populated area. So Shlomo Zalman was Mako. You could build an Erev over a highway or have the highways part of the Erev as long as there isn't 600,000 people there independently. You don't need 600, you need 600,000 people even in order to convert a highway into being a Rishus HaRabim. Rav Moshe, they say, actually used to watch from his window the FDR counting cars to figure out if there were 600,000 people on the FDR, because Rav Moshe felt that it was only Drachim HaHokam Shitaso. It was only Drachim HaHokam Eir Le'ir, where the Shulchan Aruch is discussing you need 600,000 people over in Bobo Kol Yom. On the streets of the city, it's not defined by any one street. The whole city is judged together. Either it's a Rishus HaRabim or it's not. It has nothing to do with one particular street. That was Ramayesh Shita about judging Rishus HaRabim, evaluating Rishus HaRabim in general. So Moshe felt the only time you need 600,000 people in one street is on when we're discussing a highway. Rav Shechter felt, though, and he took this even a little bit further, that it's not even Drachim HaHokam Meir Le'ir, but the Shulchan Aruch, when he says all these criteria that we're giving for what's considered to be Rishus HaRabim, are all just describing highways. But the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim is a highway. As the Gemara gives the example, what's a Rishus HaRabim? One of the examples the Gemara gave was Sratya. Sratya, Rashi writes, is streets that would go from one city to the next. So that is the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim. We're just trying like to describe like a Martian. Like what's a Rishus, you know, what's a highway? So we give, well, you know, it's Tezayin Amot wide, you know, there's no roof typically, you know, it's heavily trafficked. But you're right, if you actually would have a real highway, even if it doesn't have any of these criterion, it would be considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. So that's why Rav Shechter thought even FDR, which doesn't go from city to city necessarily, the West Side Highway, or Route 4, any of these things that are drachim hachokam ear to ear, even if it doesn't necessarily go me ear to ear, but it doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city. That was the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim, and will be a problem. I think he would even say that. We've pushed him in the past, but I think he would even say that by the Lincoln Tunnel and the Midtown Tunnel, even though the Mekura. But in the end of the day, it's drachim hachokam ear to ear. The only time you require that it not be Mekura is when we're trying to convert something else into a highway. But if it's mamish, literally a highway, I don't think he would be Mako. He would be Mako.
So
if you have a highway running through your Eruv, you have to get it before it gets onto the highway. Every entrance and exit, you have to have a separate tourist at Pesach to make sure, and mechitzas running along the highway, which they have in Tinek. We've been there before. They have mechitzas running along the highway, and then every entrance and exit, there's a tourist at Pesach. And it's really two sides of the Eruv. There's the more than one way, right? But there's the Bnei Yeshurun side and the Beth Aaron side, and it's like an hourglass, and they cross over at the underpasses and the overpasses. So you have to really separate and exclude the highway from the area. But according to Rav Shechter, also, this would be not only highways, train tracks also, which is a big problem, because train tracks are also Drachim HaHokam Eir Le'ir. Half the time the train tracks are not Tezayin Amot wide. That might be, well, I don't know if you include foot traffic also, but even if that's not true, Even though you know, Tezayin Amud Aleph is only describing what it would, you know, what a highway typically looks like. But if this happens to be a highway, mamish, so then even if it's not Tezayin Amud Aleph, I think he would be opposed to it.
The five towns, yeah. Long Island Railroad going right through.
Right, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't pass
that. He's been there. You can ask him about it. I don't want to talk about other Teaneck. I know we saw and it was good. So no, no. Anything else than that? That, you know, Teaneck also has. I don't like talking about it. But Teaneck also has freight tracks. So I think the freight tracks, Rabbi Taubes told me he was make on, but I don't know. At the time when we were there, he wasn't happy about it, but Rabbi Taubes told me, who was the manal of the area, that he was make on to train tracks, with freight tracks. But in Pesach also, there's train tracks through the area, and we excluded them. We excluded them from the entire area. They're no longer part of the area. Okay, well, the other paradigmatic... Which is a rabbi, not only Sratov, but it's a platio. What is a platio? So that means a big plaza. So the Be'er Hetev in Shin Mem Hesiv Kan Zayin actually quotes from the Rajban, the Avodas HaKodesh. It doesn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch that even if a platio has walls around it, it's still considered to be Rishus HaRabim. So let's say Times Square, even if it would have Rishus HaRabim, walls around it, would still be, Times Square is a platio, would still be Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, even if it would have brick walls around it. So that was one of Ramosha's reasons, again, in the tshuva, you know, prohibiting the Eir of Manhattan. One of the reasons was we should be machmir like the Rajman, the Avodas HaKodesh, even if there is walls, literally walls, around all of Manhattan, the entire thing is a platia because of Times Square and other, you know, gathering places, other big squares. And therefore, even if there's walls around it, it's still considered to be Rishus HaRabim, we should pass like the Rajman. Others disagreed. We don't necessarily have to pass like the Rajman, the Avodas HaKodesh, decided by the Behetev, and never made it into the Shulchan Aruch. The Sefraim rejected it. What about the Kotel Plaza? Isn't that a platio also?
The what?
The Kotel Plaza, which is, I think, part of the Yushalayim Eir. People carry it to the Kotel every day. Ah, but according to the Rashban, the Avodas HaKodesh, even if there be brick walls and steel walls around it, it's a plaza. So do you have to be machmir for this Rashba? So Shmir Shabbos Kotel from Shlomo Zalman, that a platio is only a marketplace for business. If it's a marketplace for Ruchnius, right, a shul can never be a platio. Alright, so Machne Yehuda might be a platia, but not the Koto Plaza. What if you have a real Rishus HaRabim Daraisa? Is there any way to build an Erev around it? So Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samuel Dalet Siv Beis that Ein Rishus HaRabim, according from the Gemara, Ein Rishus HaRabim as Arva El Bedulosis, which means it needs to have walls around it or doors, which are the equivalent of walls. How many doors do you need? The Mishnah Berurah discusses Shin Samuel Dalet Siv Kam Vav. One opinion is you need one wall, you know, at least at one end, right? The assumption is you have walls running along the side. What about the two ends of the street, so, or two ends of the walkway? So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, maybe it's enough if you have a door or a wall at one end. I guess you would have some tikkun on the fourth side, but not a wall. Or maybe, no, you need literally walls on both ends. And you need doors on both ends. You need beis delosos. Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samuel, what opinion? One door or two doors? But what is the status of these doors? Are they actually closed? Or are these doors that are open but fit to be closed? So that's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch over there, Shin Samuel, Balas of Beis. One opinion is it's enough with Losos HaRu'uyos Glinol. The other opinion is no, they literally have to be closed. Meaning the only way to be Ma'ariv Rishus HaRabim is by building walls around it or doors that are going to be closed for the majority of the time. And we pass, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sefkon Ches, you need Losos HaNu'ulos Balayla. They actually have to be closed. It's not enough with Ru'uyos Glinol. However, in the Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer, he quotes from the Torah Chesed, as well as this is the opinion of the Avnei Nezer, echoed by many, many other Achrayinim, is that we have a sfeika here. One suffix is whether or not we need 600,000 people or not, and presumption is you don't have 600,000 people. And then even if you don't need 600,000 people, which is be Rishus HaRabim, you can be Rishus HaRabim without that, but there's another opinion in Shulchan Aruch, because enough with the Losos HaRu'uyos Glinol. So most of our places where we're not sure if we have 600,000 people to begin with, you could be Meikah with the Losos HaRu'uyos Glinol, and that would be enough. With a Sveik. But what's considered to be Ru'uyos Glinol? Again, normally we're passing in Ru'uyos Balayla, but if you have the Sveik, it's Ru'uyos Glinol. What's considered to be Ru'uyos Glinol? So Avnei Nezer, I think Rosh Hashanah mentioned this, based on Gemara in Yevamis, by Sando Shel Chalitza, the Avnei Nezer says, as long as it's closed, once a year, I think, then that's considered to be, or it's closed once, I think, ever. That's considered to be Ru'uyos Glinol, but the minhag was to close it once a year. However, the Avnei Nezer has a dispute between himself and the Yeshua Smalko, Rabbi Shua LeKutner. What if the government doesn't let you close it? Let's say it's fit to be closed, but the government will never let you close, you know, doors over Amsterdam Avenue. There's no way they'd ever let us do that. So that's a further machlokes. Is that called Ru'uyos Glinol? Is it not called Ru'uyos Glinol? This comes up with regards to when they first built the Erev across Amsterdam Avenue. After Avraham Tzavetchik passed away, I don't know if you remember, it was Teich Shana or a little bit after, we built an Erev across Amsterdam Avenue. But in order to make Rabbi Tendler happy, they put delossos at either end of Amsterdam Avenue. What kind of lot? You've never seen them, right? There's no real delossos, but in the journal called Noam, I think in volume 21, you could look it up, there was a Rabbi Ralbag, who was a Rav on the east side, not the lower east side, the upper east side. His son, I think, is the one who runs the Star K. Yeah. And his grandson is a Rav in Five Towns. So Rabbi Ralbag had an idea to come up with these, where they have these canisters. You can see them. It's on the corner. If we take a tour, we'll see it. There's a canister on the, I think, on 182nd Street, Laurel Terrace, the corner of Laurel Terrace, 181st. Canister, and inside of it is a tennis net that's rolled up. And you could extend it across the street to block the traffic. So he felt that was considered to be Dlossos Hayru'uyos Lino, and once a year, I guess, I've never seen it, I've been here for a while, once a year they, or once ever, they close these things. But the government will never let you close it. So, whatever you want. So is that really cool? Dlossos Hayru'uyos Lino. I might be able to pull strings and get it once a year, and then... 4 in the morning on Thanksgiving, but otherwise you're never going to be able to do it. Shaykh, that's called the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was opposed to it vehemently, first of all, because he passed like the Chazon Ish and he felt this didn't add anything. And then Rosh Hashanah was opposed to it because the Shari Tshuva over here, Shin Samach Gimel Sukkah Yud Beis, discusses a drawbridge. And the Shulchan Aruch says, the Peshari Tshuva says, a drawbridge is not considered to be Dlossos Hayu'uyos Lino, because when it's down, it disappears. It's gone. You don't see the Mechitza, right? It's like a lap. When you stand up, it's gone. So, little children like to sit on your lap. So where's the lap when you're sitting and standing up? It disappeared. So over here, when the drawbridge goes down, there's no more mechitza. So when these tennis nets are rolled up, that's not the same as a door that's open. Even when this door is open, the mechitza still exists. This is gone. So, it disappears inside of a canister. So the Shari Tshuva seems to imply that that's not considered to be a mechitza, and therefore it wouldn't necessarily help. Even when you have delossos, are ne'ulos. Let's say mamash have delossos ne'ulos belayla, which even if it's not trying to be ma'arvish with haram, it might be a mechitza for another area. Rosh Hashanah mentioned that the Chazon Ish quotes a dispute between himself and the Ksam Sofer whether or not you need a residual tzuris ha-pesach there. Even when the door is open, do you need a residual tzuris ha-pesach, or is it enough that I have a door that's fit to be closed, even if there's no residual tzuris ha-pesach? Ksam Sofer felt even if there's no residual tzuris ha-pesach, the Chazon Ish argued you can't have a doorway that has no tzuris ha-pesach, but that's impactful. It has to have a tzuris ha-pesach.
And it's only a shali if you say that a ruuyos lino, right?
No, let's say I have a pirtzi yesem yeser. I had this. We were building an erev in Indianapolis. I'm sure there's something there. And there was a school. The school had a huge fence we were using as a mechitza, which was wonderful because the school, public school, built it and it was wonderful for our Erev. But the front gates of the school were open until school was over. And in the wintertime, the front gates were open, way past the Shkia, but they literally had gates, which they shut at night. But there was no residual tzuris ha-pesach over it. So even though we weren't trying to be ma'arvi rishus ha-rabim, you have a pirtzi yesem ha-yeser. Can we use, or rely on the fact that at least at night they're going to close the gate? So that was this machlekes between the Chazon Ish and the Ksam Sofer. Many bungalow colonies have this because they have, no one likes to keep the garbage in the bungalow colony, so they usually have a garbage route and there's a gate which they open and close. But there's never a residual mechitza by the garbage gate. So if on Shabbos they're going to open the garbage gate to have the garbage truck come, or something, to take out the garbage, so then that could be an issue if the gate is pirtzi yesem ha-yeser.
Okay.
If you have real delossos, right, you have a gate that's going to be closed, right. But there's no residual mechitza.
So what is the shaila here? If you need a residual tzuris ha-pesach, where?
Again, you have a gate, right? Let's say this is the school opening.
Right.
But you had a gate that was going to close like this. But there's nothing here when it's open. Disappears. No more mechitza.
So it's
delossos
really.
So Chazon Ish, I'm sorry for help. Well, since there's a door that's going to close, that's just, doubling up. Let's say there was two doors and then one would close, yeah? So that's good enough. And the Chazon Ish, hell no. You need something residual to show that there's a doorway here. Otherwise, the doorway disappears when the door is open. Yeah.
If we have a tzuris ha-pesach, do we need to come on to
delossos
to begin with?
No.
Okay.
No. Unless you're talking about Rosh Hashanah. So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about Rosh Hashanah where we need the delossos. But we're going to, we can extrapolate from there to other areas. What if I just have a delossos and I have no tzuris ha-pesach? Maybe that's good enough. Right. So according to some Sefer, it is. Lassos is the gold standard of mechitzos. Even Rosh Hashanah is mitzvah with lassos. So that's it should be the best thing ever to have a gate that's literally closed at night, even though it's open now. How is that different than my front door, which is certainly a mechitza even when it's open? So the answer, Chazanish says, no, because there's a Tzuris HaPesach there. So your house is a Rosh Hashanah even when it's open because it's a Tzuris HaPesach and a literal door. Not if you just have a door without a Tzuris HaPesach. And the Chazan Sofer held, no, that a doorway is better than a Tzuris HaPesach. You don't need a doorway.
You're talking about like a kamalist that has three mechitzas already.
Correct. And what's the fourth wall? Or maybe I have many walls like this. Yeah. Okay, so that's how to be my Arvish Saram, Zemesh Arvish Saram, Misarva El Bidlasa. So that's why if you want to build an Erev around a city, you probably have to make sure that it's not a Rosh Hashanah. The only way to build an Erev around the Rosh Hashanah is literally with walls or with Dilasos Haru'uyos Lino, or Dilasos Ne'ulos Malayla, which of course is not practical. So the first thing we have to make sure is that it's not a Rosh Hashanah. Because if you're just going to put up a Tzuris HaPesach around an area that's a Rosh Hashanah, which I have to mention, the Gemara says, Erevin and Davchav Beis, that we'd say, also Rabbim and Mavatul Mechisa. But that's actually a big machlokes in the Gemara. I presented it quickly, but he was trying to avoid presenting all the details. But the details are like this. The Gemara discusses a situation of Pasi Biros. In case you look it up, you shouldn't be confused. When they traveled to the Olerego, there was a place of water, which was a Be'er, here. And people wanted to give their animals to drink from the Be'er. The problem is, if you're going to take water out of the Be'er, you're taking out of a Shusarachid into a Carmelist. You're not allowed to do that. How are you going to give your animals to drink on Shabbos? So Chazal created a heter called Pasi Biros, which works with the rice even. Pasi Biros, which is if you put mechitzos in the corners, which was a heter for the Oyler Regalim, that this area inside should be considered to be a Shusarachid, even though it was not Oymid Merubah Haparetz, it was Paretz Merubah La'oymid, since you have all four corners accounted for, it was permitted. What though if I have heavy traffic going through? It's Asur Rabim. Do we say Asur Rabim Avat Mechitzta? See, the opinion of the Rabbanim was Loy Asur Rabim Avat Mechitzta, and the opinion of Rabbi Huda was Asur Rabim Avat Mechitzta. So Machlokes, how should we pass them? Like the Rabbanim or like Rabbi Huda Asur Rabim Avat Mechitzta? But the Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Huda, even according to the Rabbanim, if you have the following situation. You have two walls, and then a lechi, and the rabbin goes through. Even the rabbanon who say here lo asu rabbin, here would say asu rabbin. And there are two explanations because a lechi is a mechitza garua. This is a mechitza beria, possibly rose. That's a real mechitza. This is a mechitza garua lechi. So even the rabbanon who say here lo asu rabbin about the mechitza, the rabbin don't come and negate the mechitza. Here the heavy traffic would negate the mechitza. Well, the Rishonim explained because this is a mechitza garua. That's the Lashon the Rishonim have. So some Rishonim say, many Rishonim say, the Beis Afraim and others, that a Tzuris HaPesach is also mechitza garua. So even if we would pass him lo asuram about the mechitza by passing Miros, when it comes to Tzuris HaPesach, or Lechi, you would say asuram about the mechitza. The Bir Halacha actually quotes, if you're reading the Mishnah Berurah, which you should, and the Bir Halacha on the Maariv Mekayimus, the reason why this Bir Halacha is on the Maariv Mekayimus is because he quotes a Ritva that says Tzuris HaPesach is a mechitza beria. It's better than a lechi. A lechi is a mechitza grua. Tzuris HaPesach is a mechitza beria. We would say lo asur rabim about the mechitza, in which case you could even use Tzuris HaPesach to be ma'arav Rosh Hashanah rabim. But we don't generally pass it like that. We assume that it's a mechitza grua, just like the lechi. However, at the same time, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who hears that asur rabim about the mechitza, that's only because all four of these are necessary midoraisa. But if you would have a mechitza that's only necessary midorabanan, let's say you would hold two walls are enough to make a Rosh Hashanah, and therefore this lechi is only necessary midrabanan, we'd say, lo asur rabim about the mechitza. That's what the sugya is so confusing. Because each one has an exception to their position. So Rabbi Yehuda, even though here he says, asur rabim about the mechitza, if this would only be necessary midrabanan, he would say, lo asur rabim about the mechitza. So it's from that the Rosh Hashanah, according to the Tosis, that extrapolates any time you have a mechitza that's only necessary midrabanan. Now, see this here, because you have enough mechitzas to make it a Rosh Hashanah midaraisa. The Chiddush of Taisus or the Mordechai, the Rosh Hashanah, according to Rami Rumberg, is even if the whole area is a Carmelist, where I don't have any walls at all, but it's only an Isra Haitzah midarabanan, since the mechitzah is only necessary midarabanan, and we could say, lo asuram avat mechitzah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore clearly you could use the Tzuris HaPesachs, even though they are mechitzas geruas, because even though Rabbi Yehuda normally says, asuram avat mechitzah, even by mechitzas brios, he doesn't say it by mechitzah, it's only necessary midarabanan. So whenever you're dealing with a karmelist, you can use Tzuris HaPesach, even if it would be a mechitza grua, that would be sufficient. However, we'll get to the next time more, but there is a difference whether you pass an asur rabim avat mechitza or not with regards to the het of the chazanish. Chazanish was, again, if you remember the building, and then you have the building, and the building, and then you have the building over here. So even if these are appearances, yes, and yes, sir, the Chazanish felt, well, you have Omen Ruba parts over here, Omen Ruba parts over here, Omen Ruba parts over here, you have three mechitzas midaraisa. That should be enough to enclose this area. Even though these are appearances, yes, and yes, sir. So many disagreed with the Chazanish because we say, Asu Rabbi Mavata Mechitzta. Even though this is Omid and this is Omid, they can't join up because I have streets going in between. I have Amsterdam Avenue going right in between. How can this join up with this? That was the argument against the Chazanish. So Chazanish, in order to make his argument, said, we paskin lo asu rabbi mavata mechitzta, and these mechitzos are mechitzos berios. Omid ruba laparts is like pasiv iros. Just like pasiv iros is mechitzos berios, real mechitzos. And there, the Rabbanan would say, Lo Asu Rabbi Mavata Mechitzta. So over here, the Rabbanan would say, Lo Asu Rabbi Mavata Mechitzta. Many of those who disagreed with the Chazanish felt, no. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda of Mishnah Yaakov. We paskin Asu Rabbi Mavata Mechitzta. And therefore, that undoes the Amim Ruba Labart. So in order to make the argument of the Chazanish, you have to assume we paskin like Rabbanan, Lo Asu Rabbi Mavata Mechitzta. But that's still not good enough to use Turas HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim. Because even the Rabbanan have limits. If it's Mechitza Gruah, it's not good enough. So it has to be that you only need the Mechitza Midrabanan, it's only a Carmelist, and then we could discuss using it Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, Chaim. We'll have one more next week. And